Welcome back to PCP, aka the Politically Correct Podcast. Ricky?
This is the Politically Correct Podcast.
Episode 30, right?
Episode 30. And if...
He's got a case of the giggles.
If you're new to the podcast...
If you're brand stinking new.
Brand new. This podcast isn't like your other podcasts.
It's very different.
Very different. Very unique. In the sense that we are actually not a political podcast. Completely political free.
Anti-political, if you will.
Yes. And we give y'all the scoop on our, current events?
Current events, things that we like.
Things that we like, things that we hate.
Definitely some things that we hate.
Definitely a lot of things that we despise.
Sometimes life advice.
Life advice.
A lot of TV show and movie reviews.
Yes.
And some...
Different segments that we redo during the week. Beer reviews. Like you said, movies, TV shows, that good stuff.
It's going to be a good time. We got a good episode lined up for you today. I am your host, Johnny Peterson. Ricky, always at my side. Phillips, co-host. And you know what? Enough of this. We'll get right into the podcast.
PCP. Politically.
Correct.
Correct.
Podcast.
Like we said, episode 30.
Dude, that bass drop always just kicks my ass.
It just wakes me up.
Dude, it's just like boom, 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 boom.
PCP.
PCP. Was that your real voice when you recorded that?
A little behind the scenes ditty. That is my voice doing all of the vocals there.
Wow, you really have some range.
I do. I normally don't do that voice on the podcast just because I don't want people to freak out.
Yeah, but I guess they know now.
Yeah, now you guys know.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
I feel like I shouldn't have told them that.
Yeah.
Now it's going to make them feel uncomfortable.
Dude, but here we are with another morning podcast recording.
We're doing a lot of morning casts lately.
We're just up and about.
Just up. I mean,
conquering the world.
Well, I mean, we're so busy in the afternoons
that
the morning is the best time to do it.
Yeah.
Which sucks for our beer review segments because it's not really smart to drink beer at 10:30 in the morning.
I mean, it's not that, having one is a terrible thing in the morning. It's just whether you want to have that taste in your mouth at that time.
Yeah. Do you really?
It's just not convenient in the sense that you don't drink beer that early unless you're tailgating for Texas OU.
Yeah.
Hannah's going to give me so much shit for calling it Texas OU.
Is it OU Texas?
Yeah.
She calls
it OU Texas.
Another little bit of news. Today is Ricky's last day of college.
Yes.
So congratulations to Ricky on that one. Well done. Well done.
Yeah.
What does it feel like?
I mean, I don't really feel anything. I'm just ready to get the hell out.
Get that piece of paper and be done.
Yeah.
I think that's another.
Just move on. Chapter of my life.
I think, can we get a little peek into that? What does the next chapter look like as of 10:30 on Monday, August 26th?
I mean, I've almost acquired my real estate license.
Oh.
So I'm going to take the test for that soon. And then I plan on I'm graduating with a marketing degree, but I'm planning on getting into the field of real estate.
So,
more of property development, land development sort of area. Wherever I can start dipping my toes into that, where I can slowly, get some upward mobility into something bigger or even create my own, brokerage in the future.
Damn, that'd be awesome.
So, high aspirations.
High aspirations
is a good thing to have.
That's what we do here at PCP.
Yeah. And of course, continuing to develop content for PCP.
For the Politically Correct Podcast.
Because when this thing blows up, it's already blowing up.
It's only a matter of days, I think. In the next week or so.
Yeah.
We should be
rolling out the ads.
You know what
we should start? Just start being those guys that are just looking for clout. Just start commenting on every single meme page and be like, hey, check out my podcast.
Check out my podcast.
Check out my podcast.
You won't click this link to my podcast.
Or be like, oh, I know why Tom Holland Sony Spider-Man or something.
People are like, what?
And then they're like, oh,
click
you check
the link
your story
in my bio.
Like, we'll get into Spider-Man later. We're very sad about it, but
well, have you seen staying on those comments? Have you seen the ones that like chicks will do to try and get their Instagram game up?
What?
They'll be like, they comment on all the meme accounts and they're like, oh, you mean I'm not the hottest chick on Instagram?
Yeah.
~? And then a dude's like, oh, click her profile.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just a bunch of bikini shots.
Yeah. That's it's just like, wow.
With like the caption saying,
oh, they definitely
like,
get follows back though.
With the caption saying something like, there's no, you can't grow plants without rain.
It's like,
wow, that was deep.
That was really deep.
That was so sick. Or check out my fit tee.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Join the gang.
The classic, you know, those like the gym rats that are like, okay, like they start workout programs and that's great and everything. And then they start getting into like the gym merch gang. And it's like,
yeah,
dude, that's such a tough industry to tackle.
Buy my t-shirts or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I mean, I'll like, if I like it, then I'll do it. But it's like a tough, like, area to like grow.
It's a saturated market.
It's very saturated
because literally, and we've talked about this before. If you were like, if you were wanting to become big in fitness on Instagram,
yeah,
the time to do that was like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So people starting out now, good luck. Please,
health is wealth.
Health is wealth. Keep grinding, but just letting you know, it's a tough road ahead.
Yeah.
And just like building a podcast.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
And speaking about health is wealth. The seltzer, hard seltzer,
the movement
craze is insane.
It's been the summer of seltzer.
Hard seltzer gang with the low calories, like 90 to 100 calories per drink, like ranging from 6%. You know what I'm talking about. 6% alcohol content. You got your mango. You got your ruby grapefruit. You got your
black cherry,
raspberry, lime,
mango. And you know there's no laws
when you're drinking claws.
Drinking the claws.
And that is what our first segment is going to be. We are going to discuss the seltzer craze.
It's
that
been
is
wild.
Taking the world the whole summer by storm.
It reminds me of the Juul takeover.
I would like to point out that I think it's strange how big this craze is. Because before, if you were a dude and you were caught drinking anything like this, you would just be completely emasculated. People would be like, wow, dude, sick drink. It's like when girls get like those rosé drinks, like those Angry Orchard, like rosés or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like the equivalent to that. But now it's just like everyone's just like totally like, okay, it's just like everyone, White Claw is for everyone.
Well, I
think that with that in mind, it's just like it's just hitting both, you know, gender markets or whatever you identify as
the whole market, the human market.
The whole human market.
I remember the first time I had a White Claw, I was at what's that place on University?
That place on University.
The barbecue place on University, right next to Hofbräu.
Right next to Hofbräu. Woodshed?
Woodshed, yeah. I was at Woodshed with my parents, and they handed us the beer list, and under beers, they had something called White Claw listed on it. This was like a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, let's see. Let's try it. White Claw, whatever. I'll try it. They bring me this weird white fucking can, and I felt like such a bitch drinking it. And I took two sips and sent it back and was like, I need a beer. Like, this is embarrassing to drink. And now our fridge is stocked full of them.
Here is what I think. I think that White Claws are definitely the drink that you want to have if you're drinking more than like four.
Yeah. It's like if you're going to be doing like day drinking at the pool.
Yeah.
Or you are like, I mean, with beer, like a heavy alcohol IPA, you drink two of those and you're like, oh my God, I'm so full and I feel fat.
Like, it's not the drink that I want to have when I'm sit down having dinner. Like, I'll get an IPA because it's like, okay, I'll have like one or two of these. I'm not trying to like leave like feeling like a giant balloon about to burst.
Yeah.
But like, what definitely during the summer when you're outside and it's hot as hell and you drink something that feels that light, it's perfect.
Yeah, and it's like hydrating at the same time because it's mostly water.
100%.
And it's got that little bit of a taste. It's like a look. It's like an alcoholic LaCroix.
Yeah.
A LaCroix, if you will.
LaCroix.
But
LaCroix.
It's not just going to be us talking about how much we love White Claw because we're big White Claw people. This is a White Claw podcast. We got some data for you guys. Some cold, hard fucking facts, courtesy of The Hustle, which is one of the biggest business newsletters in the world. If you're not subscribed to that, definitely check it out. It's a really interesting daily read. So they say that hard seltzer water is the drink of the summer, which clearly it is. Studies show that there has been a 210% increase in spending on the entire market compared to last year, and White Claw has accounted for around $71 million of those sales, bubbling a whopping 320% from last year.
Dude, that is social media taking White Claw and taking them into the holy gates of like
of
just like,
what is the word? Relevance.
Relevance.
Relevance. Relevance.
Like they put out a red carpet and social media was like, White Claw, we're walking you down.
Yeah. Welcome.
Welcome.
Currently, right now, it's the Popeyes chicken sandwich, but we'll touch on that in a little bit.
Yeah.
It says White Claw is so popular that some bars and grocery stores are reportedly having trouble keeping it in stock, which is very true.
It's true, dude.
It's true. Oftentimes, probably about half the time you go to buy White Claws, they're out.
Oh, if you go on the weekends, if you go on like the middle of a Saturday, they're all gone.
All gone. All Friday gone. Afternoon, I feel like people just pile in there and they're just buying, just wiping out the stock,
dude,
for the weekend.
The White Claw craze is so like prevalent. It's when you walk in like any liquor store or any grocery store, they have them just stacked up in the front, like immediately in the front of like a grocery store.
Oh yeah. They're like, they're right in the front. Yeah, they're very like poised for very high amount of contact, I guess, when you walk into a store.
Yeah.
We took all the marketing classes, but I don't remember
I mean, it's just that it has to do with like, you know, the product placement of it is like, well, when you immediately see it, you're more likely to like engage in it.
Mm-hmm.
And also when you're leaving, you're reminded that it's there and that you might want it again if you didn't buy it the first time. So you're reminded every time that you see it, and it's just like, you have to buy it. It's relatively affordable too. It's not
expensive.
It's not super expensive. It's like, I think it's like $15 for like a 12 pack, which isn't that bad. I mean, you can buy a 30 rack of Natty Light for $15.
$15, yeah.
Who wants to drink that?
Who's sitting down and drinking 30 Natty Lights?
Like normal Natty Lights, not Natter Days. Natter Days are good.
Natter Day is the seltzer version, right?
No. It's like a, it's like a pink lemonade sort of.
Oh, okay. Thing. I'd be curious to see what the difference in sales of White Claw is in towns that have major colleges or universities. It's probably through the roof.
But I mean, dude, like, it's insane.
It's such a crazy thing, to the point where even other companies are creating their own version. So Truly is another very popular seltzer.
Yes.
Depends on who you ask. Most people prefer White Claw.
I don't know if it's like sort of like a Midwest thing. Like, cause like every time you go in like the Midwest and then you have like the South and like different areas.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like the debate between like, okay, like you have two shitty beers. You have Keystone Light and you have Natty Light.
Right. Or like
and
Bush.
It's like, or Bush. And it's like down South, like from what I've noticed, everyone likes Keystone Light way better than Natty Light.
Yeah. It's like the,
Bush Light.
It's the cheap drink of choice.
Yeah. So it's like Keystone Light down South. And then like you go up North and I've heard like people that like go to colleges up there and they're like, oh yeah, like Natty Light over Keystone all day.
Any day. Yeah. And it really depends on where you are.
Yeah. And it's like, but in my opinion, I think Keystone, like it's a shitty beer, but I think it's way better.
It's something you'd rather have than
Natty.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Truly's, Truly's, I've had Truly's. Truly's is good.
There's Truly's. There's also Zima hard seltzer, which I don't think I've ever had. I've
never had that.
But other major companies are starting to add as like a line extension.
And we've named a couple of them.
We've named a couple of them. And some that we've already named, which Ricky, the first one just seems insane.
So Bush Light recently teased a pumpkin spice latte seltzer.
Is that real? I'm gonna find out.
Yes, it's real. And it's on top of it, it says basic edition. So it's basically taking a whack at all the basic girls that like love that shit when it turns fall, like the pumpkin spice lattes and everything.
Yeah.
So this drink is 17%.
Ooh.
Alcohol.
Ricky, I hate to do this to you.
What?
I just found an article. Bush's 17% ABV pumpkin spice latte heart seller announcement was says... just a joke.
Okay,
beer
well, anyways.
Beer makers admit.
Anyways, false alarm on it, but it just shows that, like,
it probably brought so much more attention to Busch Light, though.
Yeah, 100%.
Probably brought them a bunch of people.
Next one, Natty Light. Natty Light, this one is real because I've seen them.
Yeah.
Natty Light released a hard seltzer as well on top of their already successful Natter Days that went crazy this summer, too.
Yeah.
Which is the Catalina Lime Mixer, which is a reference to the Catalina Wine Mixer.
Step Brothers.
It's the fucking Catalina Wine Mixer.
Well, now it's the Lime Mixer.
Well, now it's the Lime Mixer. 6% alcohol content, just like White Claws, and you can get those at any grocery store.
Probably
basically.
Anywhere, yeah.
Also, they have another flavor called Aloha Beaches,
which is like a tropical, like mango peach type deal.
Yeah.
Also 6%.
Have not tried those yet.
I haven't tried either. I've never even had a Natter Day.
Dude, Natter Days are nice.
We should get some.
Yeah.
That has to be our next review.
Natter Days are nice. And then lastly, which is just
one. Ridiculous. This one you guys all know about.
Four Loko.
Yep, Four Loko.
And let's just discuss Four Loko for a second. If you ever drink a Four Loko, you are just looking to just get thrown. Absolutely thrown. Four Lokos, if you have one Four Loko, you're gonna be feeling a certain type of way. You drink two of those, say goodbye to your day. Your evening, your afternoon, just say goodbye.
Yeah, Four Loko
is like...
Because
you're not going to be present.
Four Loko's like, all right, I have $2.99 in my pocket.
Yeah.
And I need to get messed up.
I need
quick.
To get blasted.
I need to get destroyed quick.
It's literally
Four Loko's the way to go.
Yeah.
And that's the same with any of those like $2.99 like mixed drinks that you'd get at like a Shell.
Oh yeah.
The last time I had one of those, and it was the very last time I'll ever drink one of those.
Yeah.
I had the worst hangover I've ever had.
Gosh, dude.
In my entire life. Because it's all just sugar.
Dude, it's absolutely insane. Yeah, the sugar content in Four Loko's are like extreme. But Four Loko has recently, I don't know if it's released or if it's teased, but they recently, teased a hard seltzer, a Four Loko hard seltzer sour with a hint of blue raz.
Just a hint.
Just a hint. So what this article says, the eater.com. We spent the summer adorably sipping on low alcohol percentage hard seltzers that appeal to all, praising ourselves for staying quote unquote healthy while we get slowly drunk by the pool. But last night, Four Loko, the makers of what was essentially the alcoholic power thirst, announced that it does not give a fuck about your quest to pace yourself while day drinking, tweeting hard seltzers ran so this is what they tweeted: hard seltzers ran so we could fly, with a photo of their new product, Four Loko seltzer sour with a hint of blue raz. And social media was just like, holy shit.
If they did pre-orders for that, they probably would have sold out.
Oh, dude, it's absolutely insane. And I'm sure it's priced at the same... Like, I can't...
It's probably priced competitively.
Like, it says right here, White Claw may be law, but Four Loko is anarchy.
Facts.
Dude, the seltzer craze is absolutely insane.
I think... And we talked about this earlier. We got to do like a string of episodes where we just review seltzers.
Just review
What sucks is we should have done that over the summer.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll just have to do it for the fall.
It's okay. We're closing out the summer with like...
Yes.
Just like reviewing.
Well, especially here in Texas, it doesn't even feel... It's still going to feel like summer for the next month and a half.
Like, 100%.
It's still going to be hot as balls.
Hot.
perfect seltzer weather.
Yeah.
Until like early October.
Yeah, dude, I can probably still go to the pool till like late September.
Easily.
Yeah.
We still have to. Now that my little brother's here, we got to take him to the pool.
Yeah. Also, like, football games, dude, in this heat is just like.
Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine if TCU started selling seltzers? Like, if they sold White Claw at TCU games?
Oh my gosh, dude.
The amount of money you guys would make, if anyone from TCU is listening, you guys would make stupid bank, and you know it.
Yeah.
And you know it.
I'm going to be going to a couple OU games in Norman.
Oh, yeah?
With Hannah. And they recently started serving beer there.
They're one of the schools, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's big time. I'm curious. So, yeah, you'll have to do a full report on what that experience was like.
Maybe I'll share a beer with Mr. Mason Taylor.
Oh, thanks. Shout out, Mason.
Shout out, Mason.
Or even Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Dude, they're going to be nice this year. They just keep bringing in powerhouse
games. Dude, I mean, like, that's just a school that just, like, spends all their money on football.
I Googled, why was Four Locos so controversial?
Yeah.
And so these are four. We'll round it out with four quick reasons why Four Loko is controversial. So apparently, there were stimulants in the original Four Loko that delayed, quote, feelings of drunkenness, in many cases causing a person to consume more alcohol than he or she might otherwise. In effect, it was argued that Four Loko's formula was made it difficult for users to gauge how dangerously drunk they were becoming.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Number two. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that drinkers who consume alcohol mixed with caffeinated energy drinks are three times more likely to binge drink and twice as likely to report being taken advantage of sexually from the Boston Globe.
These
people are more likely to engage in drug driving, risky behavior, and violence.
So, like, vodka Red Bull.
Yeah,
it's just like...
But on steroids.
Crazy. Like, on steroids.
Number three, drinking just two cans of original Four Loko. First of all, you should never do that.
Yeah. No.
One can is more than enough.
Yeah.
It was considered the equivalent of chugging 10 to 12 beers. Since the human body can't metabolize alcohol that quickly, the alcohol builds up in your bloodstream and can do crazy things like shut down the respiratory centers of your brain, aka you stop breathing.
Yeah.
And number four, Four Loko cans were brightly colored and arguably marketed in such a way that made them almost indistinguishable from non-alcoholic energy drinks. Many also accused Four Loko's of a producer, Fusion, of marketing it to underage audiences and promoting binge drinking. Hey, marketing to underage people.
Yeah.
We know a company like that.
Yeah.
Jewel. Sorry, what is that?
What was that?
Anyway, that rounds it out, guys. Go, you know, of course, if you're over the age of 21 only, go pick up a pack of your favorite seltzer and enjoy what is the rest of your summer, in which case for Ricky, it's just a few more hours until class starts.
Yeah.
But we'll roll into our next topic, which we touched into slightly earlier in the intro. We have a problem, okay? There is a fucking problem.
There is a huge problem.
There's a huge fucking problem.
And it feels like we've just invested time in this, and it's just been taken away
from
us.
For nothing. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, it's because we haven't mentioned it, is Spider-Man is reportedly leaving the MCU due to fallouts between Sony and Marvel, and it caused a huge storm on Twitter, all over social media. It was just absolutely insane. I have a couple articles here, but it looks like originally Disney and Sony had a 4-year agreement to make these Spider-Man movies and incorporate them into the MCU. And then Disney approaches Sony and is like, you need to co-finance these upcoming Spider-Man films and increase the share of the profits from its share of the profits from 5% to 50%.
Right.
And apparently corporate greed is the reason they think that this is all happening.
So basically, Spider-Man will no longer appear in the MCU movies after basically a contractual deal between Disney and Sony.
Yeah.
And
Disney did something kind of sneaky, though.
Yeah.
They basically played everyone on social media to make them think that it was Sony's fault.
Oh, dude.
And so everyone's like, boycott Sony. Yeah, fuck boycott Sony.
And
when it turns out that Sony is like one of like three production companies that aren't ever affiliated with Disney at all.
Yeah.
And are like independent from them.
Well, yeah.
So they still like, without Sony, Disney is the only people making movies.
So this is just Disney being greedy.
Yeah.
And Disney, dude, I can't even explain to you on my social media feeds how many movie trailers I've seen release in the past 2 weeks that are all Disney movies.
Yeah.
All Disney owned films.
Right.
It's absolutely insane. I can't even keep up with it. How am I going to watch all these movies in like the next 2 years, dude? They're just firing them out. They're coming out with their new Disney Plus thing.
Did you watch a trailer for that?
Yeah, I did watch a trailer for that.
All the films that were in that, it was like, it's like, this is like every movie ever made.
Yeah. Like, it's all movies I've mostly seen, though. But yeah. I get the idea, but it's like, dude, I think Disney is just like taking over the world right now.
It's insane. They have their fingers in literally everything. But so when I originally started sourcing this topic, there was a possible deal underway with Disney and Marvel and Sony, and this seemed like a best case scenario for keeping Tom Holland and Marvel. I'll just give you kind of a breakdown of what these were, but it doesn't look like that this is happening, but this is what was supposed to happen, but then this deal broke down. So yeah. According to this potential deal, it would be a 6-picture deal with Tom Holland with an option for a 7. So 6 more Spider-Man movies,
which is insane,
including like his appearances in like new Avengers movies and stuff.
Yeah.
3 more Spider-Man films after Spider-Man 3, which will be a new trilogy.
Yeah.
The second trilogy will focus on Peter Parker's college years, including plans for Peter to meet up and team up with Firestar and Iceman of the X-Men, which I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
The other 3 movies are 2 Avengers films in which Spider-Man will have a larger role and become friends with Johnny Storm, who is the Human Torch from Fantastic Four, which would have been fucking awesome.
Dude, and like the whole thing with this that pisses me off is that he's supposed to like basically develop into like taking Iron Man's place.
Yeah, the new Iron Man.
Like he's supposed to develop into that part of the universe.
You have to think, as like one of the younger characters, he was definitely going to be like the future.
Oh yeah,
of the MCU.
And I don't know. I don't think Tom Holland is like necessarily. I don't know if he's necessarily pissed because he's like, oh, now I won't make money off of these movies. Maybe he is, but I mean,
he seems like a genuine kid. Yeah, he cares about playing the part.
Dude, I saw something hilarious the other day. It was like a meme, and it was like one of those things. It was like, wow, it would be a shame if you didn't get a third. A third Spider-Man movie, and it's Tobey Maguire like in the back like laughing and it's just like, this meme was created by Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Have you seen the one with like Eric Andre who like shoots Hannibal Buress on the couch?
No.
And then looks back at the
camera. I know that meme.
There was one where it was like the guy with the gun is Marvel, and then Hannibal Buress is Spider-Man, so he shoots Spider-Man and he looks back at the camera and he goes, why would Sony do this?
Yeah. It's crazy because like Tom Holland also like contributed to the hate factor in Sony because he unfollowed Sony on social media and then everyone freaked out about that.
Yeah, dude, people look so deep into stuff like that.
It's like, oh my gosh.
The last thing I'll say from this potential deal that was supposed to happen was they were supposed to incorporate Venom into the MCU,
which is insane,
which would have been just adding Tom Hardy to an already stacked fucking list
and
of
like
actors.
And like Tom Hardy is like such a sick actor. I think that they really missed their shot with the Venom movie.
Yeah,
and
I know, think Marvel could have done so much better,
and I was really excited to see another Spider-Man movie but incorporating Venom.
Yeah,
which would have been absolutely just the most classic scenario that you could have introduced as any Spider-Man movie.
A Spider-Man movie with Venom as like the antagonist would have probably broke $1 billion.
Like, I wish that Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire, like, I wish that was like a real, like, I wish there was a movie after that where it was like, okay, Venom is like still there, mm-hmm. like he's still doing his thing, like, because that went way too fast for me. I think that was probably the weakest Spider-Man.
Oh, it was the worst. It was so bad.
It was like
poorly executed.
Yeah, it was poorly executed and like, ugh, man. Anyways.
They also, damn, this deal was crazy.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane.
Sony will be given permission for TV live action programs based on the Spider-Verse properties, including like Into the Spider-Verse would have branched out into other stuff and just... It looks like this all fell apart. I was really excited for this when I first read about it, but it looks like things are off for the time being. So I don't know where Marvel goes from here. I think that the worst thing that could happen is if they did some weak-ass thing where they just like wrote Tom Holland out of the movie.
Yeah.
Or out of the universe without like doing any explanation.
I didn't
anything.
See Far From Home.
I did.
And I don't know what the development did in that. Was there a huge development?
Yeah, dude. Can I spoil it for you?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, so.
Yeah, there's not going to be another Spider-Man movie, yeah, so I guess
yeah,
it doesn't
so
matter.
Might as well. So for those of you that want to go see Far From Home, skip past this, you know, next couple yeah. minutes. Okay, so Spider-Man Far From Home is him and Jake Gyllenhaal. Jake Gyllenhaal pretends to be like from this multiverse type deal, but it turns out that he's like a former Stark employee that's like really jealous that Stark gave everything to Tom Holland after he died. And so he gives him, basically he convinces Tom Holland that he's like this superhero and gets Tom Holland to give Mysterio all of control over all of the Stark technology. And he uses like these drones to make all the Mysterio stuff. It's like CGI, basically.
Yeah.
And essentially, you know, they fight each other, whatever. The movie ends with Jake Gyllenhaal giving out, putting out a video of him saying that the very last scene of the movie is everyone walking in Times Square and Peter Parker's dressed up as Spider-Man sitting at the top of a telephone pole. And they cut to J. Jonah Jameson, who is played by J.K. Simmons from the original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. And he's like this very Alex Jones type character, like InfoWars, basically. And they play a video of Jake Gyllenhaal saying that Spider-Man's real name is Peter Parker. And they play and they show a picture of his face and it just shows Tom Holland going, "What the fuck?" And then and then the movie ends. And if that's the last thing we're ever gonna see of Spider-Man, that sucks. That's gonna be horrible.
I think that you know, I'm really getting turned off to Marvel recently. It's just been like bugging me ever since Endgame. They've just been I mean, I'm excited to see some stuff, but like if they're just going to be stuff where it's like, you know, we can't come to an agreement, so we're just going to say screw all the fans and we're just going to completely just rewrite everything because we can't figure out
what
who,
to do.
Who's getting their money?
Yeah.
And it's like, why don't, like, obviously they didn't give a shit about how the fans would react in this instance.
No, not at all.
Because, I mean, like,
well, they tried to play us against Sony. They yeah. tried to, like, get Sony boycotted and Dude, shut down.
Absolutely ridiculous.
But, I mean, it's Twitter. I mean, it's yeah. not, if, I mean, it's not a day ending in Y if there's not a group of people boycotting to shut something down. Like,
yeah.
Today it's Olive Garden.
Yeah.
For no fucking reason.
Oh, I haven't even seen that.
Yeah, it's like boycott Olive Garden.
What?
It's just something dumb.
I haven't been to Olive Garden forever, so...
I don't eat Olive Garden.
Dude, the breadsticks, though.
The breadsticks, though. I've heard their breadsticks are like crap.
Have you seen the video of Post Malone and... who is it? Some talk show host.
Probably like remember. Conan or something.
No, I think it's... Is it Jimmy Kimmel?
Jimmy Kimmel
it
may Jimmy be Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, shit.
One of the
it's
Jimmys.
It's Jimmy Fallon.
Okay.
And like they basically just do an interview while they're at Olive Garden. And then like, because Post Malone's like, dude, I love Olive Garden. He's just like the unlimited breadsticks and everything. And he like teaches them how to eat it. Like a veteran, like would eat the
That's
breadsticks.
So
it's hilarious.
Speaking of food, let's just touch on this Popeyes thing really quick.
Okay.
So this is our next segment, mini segment. So we wanted to do it for you guys. We wanted to review the Popeyes chicken sandwich because it's all the craze.
Yeah.
It's all over social media. And honestly, it looks pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
It looks great.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to try it. So Ricky and I drove to Popeyes yesterday. There is not one close by us. It's like 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
So we really like, we spent some gas.
Yeah.
Trying to put this content together for you guys. Okay.
Yeah.
And we pull up to Popeyes and no joke, there's like 15 flyers of printed out pieces of paper all over the plastered all over the Popeyes, all over the drive through menu, all over the doors going in, all over like the microphone, the window where you pay. We are out of chicken sandwiches.
Yeah.
Sorry for the inconvenience. Now, first of all, if you're Popeyes, you have to know they planned this whole social media thing. How did they not think that this could fucking blow up and they're going to have way more chicken sandwiches than they thought that they would need?
I have absolutely no idea.
That is the dumbest thing. They totally missed. This could have been a total home run if they just had enough fucking sandwiches to give people. That is so much money that they lost of people that probably were like, oh, well, I'm not going to get anything else. So
yeah.
I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
Terrible mistake.
Dude, I mean, we're going to do a review.
We'll do a review in the future. Even if it's not even for the podcast, but I will have that sandwich.
There's just this one thing that I have to say, and that first arrival to any Popeyes ever, and my first experience was that
this service was both of our first experiences.
Yeah, the service was just like D+.
That's being generous. They were so
compared to Chick-fil-A,
rude and not caring about us.
They just
at
did
all.
Not care.
They did not give a shit. Ricky goes, "You guys have the chicken sandwiches?"
It's like, "No, nope. What do you want to order?"
"Nope. What do you want?"
I was like, "Okay, well, this is my first time here, so I got to look at the menu." And he's like, "Okay. Okay, order when you're ready."
Not even that. I was just like, "Okay."
It's like, "Okay." And then I had to yell like 3 times. It's like, "Hello?" Hello.
This is what you go. You go, you were like, "Can I get like a number 5 with a Dr. Pepper and Cajun fries?" And she goes, "Okay, what do you want on the side?"
Yeah, I was like, "I just told you."
"And then what do you want to drink?" "I told you that already."
Yeah.
So then I order, we get up there. She's just like, just leans out the window and goes, $14.
Yep, here you go.
That's it. And then on top of that, we come back and we eat the food. I gave it a 5 out of 10.
Dude.
It was not that good. It honestly just was basically frozen fried chicken that you would get from a grocery store.
Yeah.
The only difference is that Popeyes has like a different kind of breading that they put on it.
Yeah.
That's it. It doesn't taste like real chicken. That's the difference between Chick-fil-A and Popeyes. Is Chick-fil-A tastes like real chicken.
Oh yeah.
Popeyes tastes like this like frozen bagged chicken that they just threw into the microwave. So it still hasn't deterred us from wanting to get the chicken sandwich, but
yeah,
it will happen and we will review it in great depth.
Yes.
And hopefully the woman is a little bit nicer because they're not getting a glowing review from us on this podcast.
Yeah.
Because fuck them.
Anyways, other than the Popeyes thing, we'll get you all that Popeyes review. What we're going to do is basically have both chicken sandwiches sitting in front of us, and then we're going to be like, "Hey, we're going to try the Popeyes one first."
Should we do, Chick-fil-A and Popeyes?
Yeah, but
a great idea.
But we need to eat the Popeyes sandwich first because we've had Chick-fil-A a billion times.
Yes.
So we can't, you know, like...
But we should have one to have right after.
Yeah.
Because one, I can eat too easily.
Yeah.
And two, we need like a right, like side-by-side comparison.
100%.
So that'll be fun. That's cool. I didn't even think of that. Good idea.
Yes.
But we'll move into our, is this our last topic? Second to last topic.
This is basically our last topic.
We've got
a little extra at the end of an add-on to this topic, if you will.
Sad news. A sleeping musician was killed by a bear while recording sounds of nature in a Canadian wilderness last week. So a French-Canadian composer died when a bear attacked him in the Canadian wilderness during a project to collect sounds of nature.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense. Somebody's got to get them. Like, you see sounds of nature all over the internet. Someone's got to actually go out there and record them.
Yeah. So
RIP this dude, though.
He was by the Mackenzie River in northern Canada when he died, according to a Facebook post by the Orchestre Symphonique de Breton. Oh my gosh.
Something French Canadian. Dumb.
With which he was an associate artist. He was with scientist Camille Toscani at the time. At around 7:45 a.m. on Thursday, August 15th, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police spotted a distress beacon around 50 kilometers south of Tulita in the Saulteaux region of the Northwest Territories, according to a statement. The area can only be accessed by sea or air.
So it looks like this lady set off a flare after the attack.
Toscani set off the signal after she found hikers following the attack. So apparently the pair were woken by a bear, which grabbed the victim, Gothier, by the neck and shoulders before taking him into the forest. The French newspaper said that the body was only discovered the next day due to poor weather. So basically this was like a Revenant sort of situation.
And if you've seen the Revenant, you can only imagine the horrors.
If you haven't seen the bear scene in the Revenant, dude, it's insane. You gotta like grip your I don't know. You got to grip something.
Well, dude, this is like a lesson. Like, if you're going to go into the fucking forest,
yeah,
nature, dude, yeah, nature, it's that old video. Damn, nature, you scary.
Yeah, dude, nature's insane.
That shit is real, dude. They don't have rules out there. It is the survival of the fittest out there. And if you're going to be going out there where bears are going to be, you need some kind of protection. You need a hand cannon or a rifle or something.
You need something to protect yourself. And while we're on the topic of this, it's very sad that this happened.
Yeah, RIP this dude. Be careful in the woods.
We are going to discuss someone who is just the nature guy, and that is Bear Grylls. And we're going to...
Before you start that, I would say Bear Grylls is this generation's Steve Irwin.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like, on like another level. Like, so I think Steve Irwin was more of like an educator.
And a conservationist.
A conservationist, like zoologist sort of guy. This guy's like survival-esque, like education.
In terms of like nature people that people know.
Yeah.
Yes, but I totally agree with what you're saying.
100%. So we're going to be discussing... Well, we've got a list about 25 things, but we're not going to go through all of them. This article has 25 things. So we got 25 things Bear Grylls had to do in the wild that he wasn't proud of. We're not going to go through all 25, but we're going to hit some of them. We're going to discuss more in depth about some, and some we'll just mention. Let's see. Number 24, he ate a raw snake. This episode of Man vs. Wild definitely made headlines. During this episode, Bear Grylls was in Australia's Northern Territory and had to rely on wildlife if he wanted to eat that night. Horrifyingly, he jumps into the waters that are notoriously filled with crocodiles, grabs a snake, and kills it with his mouth.
Animal.
We are not sure if he knew what kind of snake it was, but he took the risk of fully not knowing if it was poisonous or not. And to top it off, he ate it completely raw.
That's insane.
So this guy,
I don't
guy,
even think I could eat a cooked snake.
Dude, absolutely insane.
That's so wild.
I'm sure it just tastes like chicken.
Honestly, probably.
Everything
tastes
like
chicken.
I wonder
if he got sick from that, because like eating raw meat, that's kind of...
Yeah, but...
Isn't that so good for you?
It's not so good. You like it... It
gives you the poop.
Like it rare. Rare snake. How do you cook a snake? Is it like...
I think you do the thing where you like, you put a stick through its entire body and then just like rotate it rotisserie style over a spit. This is a good one. He drank yak blood. Reflecting back on this episode of Man vs. Wild, Grylls claims that drinking the blood or urine of animals was purely for survival.
No, I did it because I liked it.
Done when needed. He excitedly claims that it was full of vitamins and minerals, exactly when one needs to survive if they're out with food. That's his whole harping on things, is vitamins and minerals. Every time he eats something gross, he's always like, I have to eat this. It's full of vitamins and minerals that are necessary for my survival.
Yeah.
What's another good one?
Oh, dude.
On the topic of yaks, he ate a yak's eyeball.
Oh, dude. While in Siberia, according to the week, Bear Grylls came across the carcass of a frozen yak. He knew that this is a very rare find, so he wanted to take advantage of the situation, and we wish he had not. He was not too proud of this moment, and we have to agree that the week quotes him recalling the meal as awful. It's like an eruption of just cold, fluid, gristle blood. You feel gross. Like when you find a hair in your food. I don't think that's
not
equivalent.
That's a bad analogy.
I think
far-fetched. I'd say it's like finding blood in your food.
Well, like for him, I guess it's just like finding a hair in like your food, because he's already done so.
He's done some crazy
shit. He's just like desensitized to all of this stuff now.
It's just really not that bad.
He also drank reindeer blood. Let's see. He ate an alligator.
He ate a live, slightly poisonous spider.
Oh.
That's basically what he did.
He's eaten a lot of terrible things.
This one's interesting. His scenes are exaggerated.
Oh, yeah, with like music and shit.
We should be amazed by anyone who would voluntarily try and survive in the wilderness, by sleeping outside and eating only what they found and hunted that day, we were a bit disappointed to learn that Bear Grylls' scenes are a bit exaggerated and not entirely legitimate. We don't think he is too overly proud of the lengths his production team had to go through in order to make his fearless and risky scenes look legitimate. After learning that, why don't they go into any detail? Why do they just say that? Like, yeah. Give me some specifics of exaggerating.
Well, I mean, like, this is what I always think with shows like this is like, okay, like, you're surviving. Like, you're doing some stuff that you don't want to do. But in reality of all of this, you have a whole production team with you that, and like, probably a medical staff. Like, on
yeah.
the side.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, like, I guess maybe if you were like a real one, that you would just vlog everything.
Yeah, he would just have one GoPro camera on himself.
And like put it on YouTube.
Yeah, but that doesn't make for good TV.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's like, because they got to get shots of the wilderness. They got to get shots of him like walking places and like different rivers and, you know, cliffs and stuff.
You want to get like the scenic views and like you want to, I get it. I get it. Or maybe, I mean, you could be your own production team and just do it like vlog it with like a GoPro or something. And then you could just carry a drone on your backpack everywhere and just like. I don't know. That would be sick.
There's several of these that are just like basically saying that Bear Grylls is a fraud, which I'm not going to read. I'm not going to read those because we love Bear Grylls. Yeah. We are a pro Bear Grylls podcast. But he also, back to the stuff that he's eaten, he has eaten a moose heart.
Yes, dude.
Why don't they go into any God damn it, the travel. You guys need to give us more detail, okay?
I mean, he ate a moose heart. That's all we got. I guess that's all we know.
He ate the heart of a moose. And those things are not, those things
don't die
easily.
Dude, how big do you think a moose heart is? It's probably like a basketball.
Honestly, it's probably huge.
It's absolutely massive. I want to look that up. How large is a moose heart?
While Ricky's doing that, Bear Grylls' real name is surprisingly not Bear. Edward Michael is what he is known by as his entire family, but he was nicknamed Bear at a young age. And it kind of, well, that's still kind of, that makes, that, okay. Don't put that unless they only named him Bear for the show. If his nickname is Bear his whole life, then his name is Bear. That's fucking, that's just how that shit works. Yeah, so Bear Grylls has eaten a lot of gross stuff.
Yeah.
And this article was very misleading, I will say.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot, this is basically saying that, hey, Bear Grylls sucks, but he also ate some stuff.
Yeah.
So screw those guys.
Yeah.
We love Bear Grylls.
Yeah.
Did you ever find out how big a moose heart is?
No, it just keeps on telling me how large. Moose antler weight. An adult male's may weigh as much. No, that's not right. Anyways, an average moose weighs about 840 to 1,500 pounds for the male.
I found a moose heart.
Okay.
Oh my God. How large does it look? Huge. Look at this, dude. Oh, shit. I'll send it to you.
Oh, dude, I see it. Oh my God.
Just Google image it.
Dude, that looks like a Thanksgiving turkey.
That is massive. If you're listening to this, Google image moose heart.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's
absolutely
wild.
He ate that?
Dude, that probably was enough to last him like a week.
This is a delicacy or like a people eat this. A Canadian stuffed moose heart recipe.
Oh yeah. Oh, that dude, that looks insane.
Dude. Okay, so it's basically a moose heart. With one large white onion, 4 cloves of garlic, 1 teaspoon of sage, and 4 stalks of celery all stuffed in there.
That sounds pretty good.
I mean,
I would eat a
moose
heart.
I don't know what heart tastes like.
I would eat one. Like, I would eat a bite of it.
Yeah. I guess if it's stuffed,
I would
like,
smell it.
Dude, this just like I said, it's like the size of like a Thanksgiving turkey. So like, do you think Canadians just use that for Thanksgiving or do they celebrate Thanksgiving? I don't even know.
What do Canadians even, are there even Canadians? Are Canadians even real?
Yeah.
It's like Delaware.
Yeah.
Delaware. Do you know anyone that's ever been to Delaware? Some made up state.
Dude.
The government.
Accurate.
Anyway.
Just like how birds aren't real.
Anyway. End this on a good note. Bear Grylls is awesome.
Yeah. We love Bear
Man
Grylls.
Man vs. Wild is the shit.
Yeah.
Okay?
And are I will you not entertained?
I will not take any more of this Bear Grylls slander.
Yeah.
And if you're ever going out into the woods, bring a gun or something.
Yeah. For real.
For safety. And maybe bring Bear Grylls with you if you've got that kind of money.
Dude, like nature is stronger than you.
Have you seen the video that's like, or the Bear Man versus Wild where Bear Grylls goes with Marshawn Lynch?
No.
It's so funny. Oh. It's hilarious. Definitely
dude,
check that out.
Marshawn Lynch is the shit, dude.
That's it we got for you guys today. We'll be back for our regularly scheduled programming on Wednesday. Everyone, quickly just give a... wish Ricky good luck in his classes. I'll give you a second.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck,
okay.
Ricky.
Good luck. Yeah. Okay.
All right. We'll see you guys Wednesday.
Peace out.